The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to face, I think, head on, you know, some of the things we've been wrestling with this week. I think you have to be kind of blind or asleep to not know what's going on in the world. But before we enter into a time of discussion, where Milton's going to kind of answer some questions that I have for him. And if you want to, what you can do during this discussion is you can send in your questions, and we as a pastor team will kind of vet them and look at them and ignore them maybe or answer them. It's we don't know, but we'll see where it goes. We'll see. I know he's got a lot to say. As we were talking earlier this week, there's plenty to say. But just to kind of set the stage for this a little bit, these last couple months have been really different, really strange. The world as a whole has been in turmoil with a virus. That's, you know, you guys know that. It's been really different. And what maybe you don't know is that behind the scenes of that virus, as things have been getting shut down and as people have been out of work, some of the underlying issues in the culture have begun to creep up. And some stuff that maybe you're hearing about is for example, drug addiction is up. Domestic abuse is up. Alcoholism is up. Divorce filings are up. There is just all kinds of stuff as our society has been pushed to kind of a breaking point where it's cracking apart, and the real issues now are coming to the surface. And just in the last couple of weeks, the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've seen some things that are unimaginable in terms of the issue of racism in our country. And what we've seen in the last week, and you know, something we just, it's impossible to ignore. If you are a human being with a heart beating in your chest, you were disturbed to find out, to see, to witness. Hopefully, many of you hopefully didn't see it, but you know what happened to George Floyd when he was murdered. And it wasn't just one thing. It was a series. It's been, you know, several of these things. And what it's been revealing to us is that we got problems, right? We have problems as a society and problems as a country. And so we're coming here tonight because whether qualified or not, I know a lot of you maybe are looking at me and you know I'm not qualified to talk about this, but I've been called to this church. And so we're going to talk. And we have both been called to this church to pastor and to imitate Christ and ask you to imitate us as we imitate Christ. And so that's what we're going to do here tonight. But what I want to do is just ask Pastor Milton here just this kind of broad question and let him run with it. It's this. You ready? You ready, man? You got your mic? If you hold down that other button right there, the left one. Yeah, hold down that mute button. And if you get a green light.
Testing 1, 2. There we go.
Yeah, okay. All right. Here's kind of the question. It's this. We are a church. We are believers in Jesus Christ, and we're looking at everything that's going on, and I think the question that a lot of us are dealing with is this. How do we, as believers, how do we process all this biblically? How do we kind of find our way through this to the core of what we should be focused on?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you know, and I want to speak certainly first to the King's Chapel family, to my brothers and sisters here. Because this is where God has planted us, and so here's where we need to be, light and salt, and make a difference. Also, let me get this out of the way, too. I know we're going to talk about racism tonight, and so just to get this off the table, I am a black man. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, that's the thing. Okay, now that we have that behind us, because I don't want you to sit there for 30 minutes just going on, man, he's a black man talking about racism. Oh, my God. No. So here's what, and it's a fair question. It's a question I've been hearing a lot in the culture. I've been hearing from other pastors, and so I'm thankful to have the opportunity to strengthen and encourage us who are hearing those same questions and maybe not know what to do with them. So how should we process this as believers? That's a fair question. It's a good question. You're not going to hear anything tonight that you haven't heard before, because through all of this, whether it's the pandemic experience we're having, or whether it's the unrest in the culture that we're all viewing, God has never stopped doing what he does, and that is making disciples. He is wanting us to know him and to make him known. Now, obviously, we can't ignore what's happening because it's all around us. It's happening in our households. It's happening in the street. It's happening in the stores. And so we certainly want to be responsive to that. But we can't respond as the enemy would want us to respond, and that is sensually, from a fleshly perspective, or socially, bringing about some effort of social justice without Jesus. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The answer to this is Christ. And if we are the ones who know that, we are the ones who are responsible for what's happening in the street right now if we're not being light and salt. We can't put this on the charge of someone who throws a brick or someone who turns over a police car and burns it up and all of that. Yes, that is happening. And we don't know who it is that's doing it, but I know this. God has set us in this culture to be light and salt. Ye are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And so a little foundation, I want us to think about the things that are going on around us. Think about them through God's eyes. Most of what I talk about tonight is going to be from the 30,000-foot view, which is where God is expressing his heart and speaking into our lives, and then we live it out in the weeds of all of this confusion that's going on. So first of all, we find out in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind and give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. So what is God saying to us as a church? The first place we need to look, and this is the charge to the church. I will scream this from the rooftop. I'll scream it here at the King's Chapel. I'll scream it in the streets of Centerville. I'll scream it in the nation's capital. I'll scream it across the world. We as a church, we have got to repent. How should we respond to what's going on in the street? Repent. Because if you think back to what the church was doing before the pandemic came in, before this racism piece exploded in front of us, we were kind of on easy street, so to speak. You barely could hear our voice. We had a lot of disconnects in the culture where the enemy was raising his voice and being very arrogant about it. And the church was kind of just, and I'm not using a broad brush, there were some churches and certainly men and women of God who were living righteously before God, because God always has a remnant. And it is the remnant through these difficult times that are going to show up. They're going to be the light and salt as necessary. And so if we understand from God's perspective that our hearts haven't changed, we visited this racism piece on a cycle. But I will submit to you on this one, I have never in my lifetime seen anything shake a whole globe like the coronavirus. Only one person I know that can do that, and that's God. And we get an invitation from him to repent, because we haven't been living like we are supposed to be living before God. We haven't been living like he expected when he sent his son to the cross to die, when his blood purchased me and you. So our light should be shining in this time, the salt, measuring through those people who are by our side, those people that we know in our small groups or in our circle that we run with or whatever. Are we being light and salt to them? Do they even know we belong to Jesus? What does it look like in that exchange? And so we understand that the heart is a problem. Then if we look over in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, we find these words. Obviously, it's the prophet Jeremiah, God speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, and he says this: I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Let me paraphrase that for us. If it's up to us to come up with the answer, if it's up to Pennsylvania Avenue to come up with the answer, it ain't going to happen. Excuse my English, it just ain't going to happen. Because God already alerts us. The answer is not in us. Lest he reveals what he wants, it's not going to take place. And so we could do all the plans. Turn over to Psalms chapter 33 real quick. Psalm 33. It's where we live right now. I'm going to start in verse 8. The book of Psalms 33 and verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He nullifies the counsel of the nation. In other words, man's wisdom coming out of man's perspective, which is more often than not a depraved mind, he nullifies the counsel of the nation. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. Look at verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Just as God chose Israel to be a light to the heathen nations around Israel, God used Israel to hopefully turn the hearts of those heathens toward God. Well, we're supposed to be the same thing. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. People should look at our lives, and this is an examination on each one of us. Each one of us should examine our own hearts and ask ourselves, are we just checking the box for Sunday morning to catch the streaming and just be lifted up for 10 minutes? Are we just checking the box and we hurry and get back into the churches? Where's our heart? The scripture says, Jesus, these people, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Brothers and sisters, I believe that's where the church is living right now. We've had a form of religion, but we've denied the power, if you will. The Holy Spirit can get this done if we allow him to work through us. The world doesn't have this option. We're the option for the world. Yeah, we're the ones that are supposed to provide this way and the salt to preserve the world and cause a thirst, if you will, and a hunger for the things of God. Can I keep going, or you?
Yeah,
if you've got more questions, I'll do
no,
that.
I do, actually, but let me get this one in. If it's
okay, good deal, good deal.
So you mentioned we got to repent, right?
And repent, yes, sir.
And I know what that means, and I think a lot of people this week, everyone's been saying on, you know, that everyone on your social media feeds and all over the places has invited us to look at our own hearts, to examine what's there, and to face maybe do we have these prejudices in us? Do we have these things in us? And a lot of us, when we spend time doing that, we don't like to. We like to be on our phones. We like to listen to the radio, watch the TV, and don't like to spend time looking at our own hearts because we find what we read about in Jeremiah. So what is repentance? What do we?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. So I know you're going to maybe hear that certainly from different microphones when people say, look inside yourselves or look at yourselves. Here's what God is asking about repentance or actually commanding us. This repentance is not so much as my attitude toward racism or toward other brothers of faith or skin colors. This repentance is my relationship with the Lord. If I have not been faithful vertically, there's no way in the world I can address this stuff going on horizontally. So when I speak of repentance here, I'm talking about an individual repentance where you look in your heart, and if your behavior and your thinking has been going the way of the world and you're labeled a Christian, then what you need to do is stop. Renew your mind. Turn 180 and step away from the direction that we were walking in if we were walking away from what God desired. And then walk toward God. That's repentance. In fact, Acts chapter 3:19, Peter says, repent and return. Repent and return. And not only is there an individual repentance, but we see all through the Old Testament where leaders, the Ezras of the world and the Nehemiahs of the world, they led mass repentances. And the repentance started at the leadership level. And I know these brothers that I serve with here. I know how we talk about the things of God here. So our heart's level and desire is if we're a church and we're supposed to be light and salt, then we ought to repent too. That's what I mean when I say repentance. If we repent and align our lives genuinely, not just lip service, but genuinely with the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, then we will know exactly how to respond to the next person that's in our path. I was telling Pastor Mark today, that one of the things that the questions that have been coming to me from some of my white brothers and sisters is, you know, how can I engage black people? Well, if we're going to look at this from God's eyes, I beg them, don't walk past 15 white people to find a black person to love. For God's sake, love those 15 in a row. If everything you get is 15 white people, love all 15. And I say it to my black brothers and sisters. Don't try to find a color to get it right with. Get it right in your heart, and then it won't matter who. It will all hit the next person up, because the next person up might be Hispanic. The next person up might be Asian. And if we keep this in a black and white form, that's a problem, because we've got all nations under the sun in our midst. It's a human need. It's not a skin color need.
Right on. I think it kind of brings up the main question that people are asking in this. It's almost like the response is genuine repentance, or the response is some kind of overwhelming sense of guilt that people feel. Mm. And maybe talk about that.
Oh, yeah, because that one's near and dear to me, too. And I want to I want you all to look at me now, especially if you're white. I want to free you tonight. If all of the activity of the streets and all of the talk about racism and all of what you've seen has brought about some measure of guilt that either polarizes you or paralyzes you. And as a child of God, neither of those things should happen. And if we live under the guilt, then we won't do anything. And that's not God. And so we first want to start right there and make sure that we're not living under the guilt, and so we're not doing anything. I get amused sometimes because some of my white brothers will approach me and say, well, I don't know whether to call you black or refer to you as black or Afro-American. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Can we just love one another? And the only people that have the opportunity to love one another, if you listen in the culture, people will say, hey, can we just love one another? No, we can't. It's evident. We having a problem doing that. But if Christ is in us, then we can love one another. And not only that, we're commanded to love one another. And so everybody has this message I'm bringing tonight. I happen to be a black mouth that's speaking it. But any child of God can speak this message, and it has the same supernatural power as if they spoke it, just like as I speak it, because it's the Word of God. The power is in the Word of God. Jesus says in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so I live in a liberty and live from a liberty of truth, because he's promised me that. And I'm mature enough in the things of God that I don't get hung up on skin color, because the blood of Jesus is far greater than that. So it's the next person up for me. Who's in the sight that God has brought up across my path? Because if we are truth practitioners, then it won't matter who the individuals are that come into our presence. And God will bring them. Right now, the world is low-hanging fruit. God has made that possible. That if you can't share the gospel and love somebody in Jesus right now, today, as we sit, then you've got to be an unbeliever. That's all I can say, because it's at our doorstep. We don't have to go that far.
I think that's right. I think there's other responses. There's that overwhelming sense of guilt. There's a genuine repentance. There's an awakening. People's eyes are open, mm-hmm. and they're wondering, like, okay, what do I do? And before you get into what do you do, there's a lot of people telling us what we should do. There's a million things out there, a million and one. And I think what I'd love to hear from you is as believers in Jesus Christ, what do we do?
So turn to John chapter 6, because you're right. The motivation when something like this happens and we see the atrocities that are taking place in the street and all of the looting and burning and all of the rioting and so forth, and we feel like, boy, you know what? I need to do something. I got to do something. I want to do something. Mm-hmm. And then we say, but I don't know what to do.
Right.
So inevitably, we don't do anything. So here's what the doing piece is. Look at John chapter 6, and let's look at verse 28. Therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What we need to do in this time is let our faith believe in Christ. And you say, is that all? Let me tell you what that means. If we're truly believing in Christ, the love of Christ is going to emanate from us. Believing in him always has, that word believe, it has an action to it. So to believe in Christ, that means that we are going to carry out what he's already said to us. So believing has an obedience part to it that causes us to do. Believing, the doing that we do right now, that takes place right now, should be a byproduct of believing. If we will just be ministry, the doing will be the byproduct of it. A lot of people will do things right now with the intensity that's happening and the tension in the culture. They'll do things for just a personal satisfaction. And that's not what God desires of us. He wants this being and doing as a lifestyle. Not only when things are jacked up, and they are, but if it's a lifestyle, we should be pressing on. We should be pressing on. There shouldn't be this, oh, no, and then we're down here the next day, and then we're up here the next day. No, we don't live like that. It's a seamless life of living in Christ, believing, and then by will do.
Amen. There's a, for those of you watching on Facebook or on our website, we want to invite you to ask questions if you have any questions for Pastor Milton. I know there's some people who have said, they have comments. For example, Trevor said he didn't know that you were a black man.
So. Well, see, it's a good thing you're tuning
in tonight
to learn
recently,
this kind of stuff. To learn this kind of stuff.
This is a question that I know the answer to already. I kind of asked it beforehand, but in terms of resources, there's people that want to understand better. They want to understand racial inequality better. They want to understand what they can do to be agents of change, agents of justice. Do you have any resources? If someone was like, what do I need to know in order to love my neighbor well? What do I need?
Yeah. Okay, so listen to me. If I don't say anything else tonight, listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I should say. If you're not intimately entangled with the Word of God on a regular basis, and you want to know what's a good resource to allow me to do what it is that God wants me to do, get in the Scriptures. If you're intimidated by the Old Testament, start in the New Testament. If you're intimidated by the Gospels, pick up the epistles if you're a child of God and begin reading them. And as you read them, start practicing them. Start living them out. Let them be a discipline that you start. I would rather see one man take one verse and live the snot. Can I say snot?
You can say snot.
Okay. Pastor Mark said I can say snot. Live the snot out of that one verse because it is supernaturally anointed verse that will bring about change than have a man quote the whole Bible without missing a word. No, this word has to become just like it was in John 1:14 when it says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, this word, we're supposed to be so intimately connected to Christ that we live it out before him and then we live it out before others. When people ask me what's a good book to read or what are some of the resources, I'm telling you right now, get into the Word of God. If you have any hope for freedom and in your own inward man and in your own thinking, it's going to come from the Scriptures. The encouragement comes from the Scriptures. Look quickly. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. Let's see. Romans 13. And let's look at okay, so when you get to Romans 13, go to Romans 15. I wanted to make sure you could find 13 first. Okay, so go to Romans 15.
Got it. All right.
Romans 15, here we go. Is everybody there? Okay, I'll just start in verse 1 just because it's there. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his, listen at that word, edification. That means that you're growing in the things of God. You're not just hearing the word, but you're actually practicing it and growing. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 is what I want you to circle and memorize it, put it in your spirit and live it. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. These scriptures give us encouragement. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is active and it's alive. You can't read this word and then sit down and do nothing, because the word in us, like Jeremiah said, it was like a fire shut up in my bones. It won't leave you alone. You have to do something with the active word of God in your heart, and it will transform you. It will change you. It will change you. So that's the book I would offer you to read. In fact, I would also encourage, probably some of you need to stop reading some of that stuff you've been reading, because it's really not helping for the transformation piece. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our spiritual mind is designed to take on truth, and it feeds off of truth. And when that supernatural truth gets on the inside of us, it begins to transform us. And that's what the world is attracted to. How in the world can you love me and I'm as jacked up as I am? That's exactly what God will make you to others. But we got to engage it, and we got to engage the word of God. The answer is in the word of God.
So one resource for you to check out.
In fact, for some of you, you need to just fast and just read the Bible for the next 30 days. Yeah, just get in the next 30 days. And especially, you were mentioning about all of these disconnects that with addictions and alcoholism increasing, and all of the households are just in a vice. I mean, yeah, we're having those problems now. I'm telling you, the Word of God will set it all free. It'll set you free from it. We'll be in the midst of it, but we won't be it. And it consumes us when we don't have anywhere else to turn. But the Word of God is an encouragement to our own spirits, and it gives us strength. If I can shift just for a brief moment, because yeah. I do want to make sure we talk about this from the racial part. Did you have another race question?
I do.
Okay, well, yeah, let those things fly.
So these are, I'll just kind of put two questions together. And so one of them was, how do I confront racism I witness within my God-fearing family and friends?
How do I
confront racism that I see in people that I love?
Oh, okay. So what you don't do is confront racism in people you see. The first thing you do, you confront sinful thoughts in your own heart, and as you live that and get that fleshed out, you will be able to engage the others. Now, it would be fair for me to explain, and I'm probably the only black man in this world that's probably going to say this, but I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. Racism, as the enemy has painted it, is a myth. Okay, now we got that out of the way.
Go on. What
do you mean by that, Pastor Milton? Because I'm seeing it lived out. What you're seeing is a cultural word defined by the culture that nobody knows what it all means. And so when we try to address a problem and we call it racism, we say, oh, that's it right there. Oh, that's it right there. Listen, saints, get in this word. If you get in this word and you begin to peel back the layers of your heart, you'll see that the same traits that are manifested in racism, or racist, I should say, are the same things that can manifest in our own hearts. But can we say then someone else is a racist if we're bearing the same traits in our own hearts? There's a difference between an act of racism and then living a lifestyle of racism. And so let me strip away the term so we can put it down into a position that we can all deal with it. Let's call it sin. All of you who agree that racism is sin, raise your hand. I see those hands. No, okay. So if it is sin, God has an answer for sin. Mm-hmm. His name is Jesus Christ. Okay? If it's just racism and we ramp on to deal with racism and we're not dealing with all of the full gospel of the Lord, you're never going to address that, because the world will always have some thread hanging down about racism. And a lot of times we talk about social justice. Justice can't begin socially. It has to begin in Jesus. He is the one who is the bearer of justice and righteousness. Everybody wants justice. Nobody wants Jesus. Everybody wants peace. Nobody wants Jesus. Everybody wants love. Nobody wants Jesus. And so it's impossible when you say you're with friends and you know you have some friends who have some pretty warped thoughts about other ethnicities. In fact, let me use that word too. If you're going to have a biblical conversation about racism, keep it on the platform of ethnicities, because there's only one race. That's the human race. And I know every time I say that, everybody goes, oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know. But then we go right back to living like it's black and white people are the only people on this earth. That just bummed the snot out of me. I said it twice. It does. Listen. So envision this, if you will. Let's say that NASA has built this huge, huge vacuum cleaner, big vacuum cleaner. And it's a globe vacuum cleaner. And it has a lever on it that can turn to ethnicities. And so let's turn that dial right to black people and flip the switch. And now that vacuum sucks every black person on the face of this earth right off. Now all of our problems are over. Not.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Now, okay. So let me just so you don't get too uneasy. There's a lever on there for white people. And let's just suck all the white people off the earth. Then we got no problems. You could put any ethnicity up there you want, and you will agree with me. You'd be lying if you wouldn't. But you'd agree with me. We still are going to have problems, because it's a human issue. It's not a skin color issue. And we live it every day from a skin color issue. We are intimidated in some cases. We're governed in other cases. We want to hang out with those who look like us and talk like us. And I don't have a problem with that as long as you're being Jesus. I'm telling you. I mean, for me personally, as long as I'm experiencing the love of Christ, I don't care who you hang out with. Because the love of Christ can't be contained. It's contagious, and it will spread out. It will spread out. So the first thing we have to do is make sure we don't get up in the culture's terminology, and the culture's good for this. They will give us terms, and then they will write up a new definition for it, and we think that good is bad and bad is good, and they will somehow offer some definition for that. So keep the discussion on ethnicities and understand that we are all of the human race, and we have ethnicity because Brother Nimrod, back over in Genesis chapter 11, thought he would rebel against God and build this tower. You remember the Tower of Babel. And God says, I need you to scatter out over the face of the earth, be fruitful and multiply. And Nimrod decided, well, no, we're going to build a tower here to heaven. And God looks down and he says, you know what? Look at them. They're one people. They have one language. And if we don't intervene, they will accomplish what they've set their mind to do. How powerful is that statement by God Almighty himself, which is telling me we don't have to bow to the knee of racism that's being practiced in our land. We don't have to bow to that, because if we get united, and the only thing that unites us is Christ. I was talking to my daughter the other day, who's a big-time mathematician. She does stuff with math that I could only dream about. But I said, okay, darling, when you're thinking about bringing about like numbers or like entities, what happens there? The likeness that we all experience on this earth is our humanity. But we are so fractioned by our ethnicities, if you will, and certainly by our own thinking, that we are fragmented. We are fractions. Well, in order to bring us together as one, and I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree in math, but I do know you need a common denominator. Our spiritual common denominator is Jesus Christ. If we go into Christ, If we go into Christ and Christ goes into us, he will unite all of us. That's his desire. That's his plan, actually. John 12:32, he says, if I be lifted up from the earth. So there's a distinction. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so we've got to make sure we don't get captured by the culture's narrative, if you will, and let the culture dictate how it is we're supposed to respond to what the culture is asking. What we're charged to do is take the word of God and live it out as believers. And so when you're encountering brothers and sisters in the Lord who have racist thoughts, if you will, reduce those thoughts to sin. And then give them the love, the gentle love. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. See, we let the word do the work. We don't have to do the work. We give the word and we love them with the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. All right. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading, listen, to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. When we're practicing racist behavior, and I say that only from a sin perspective, in the body of Christ, we need to speak to it as sin, because the response to sin is the word of God and repentance to be cleansed. If we confess our sins, according to 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we have that agent of cleansing to come if we'll confess our sins. And if you're listening to this and you know you have in your own heart racist attitudes, not just black people, but people in general, because I happen to believe it does, that the behavior of racism doesn't need a color. The sin itself exists. It's just directed at a color. If you take all the black people out of here, then it might be the Asian that you have a problem with. You take all the Asians out, it might. And guess what? If you take every person of color out of here, and you still have racism practices in your spirit, it's going to come out against white people. So I'm saying we address it as sin and pray that God would grant them. See, repentance has to be granted, and it's granted by God when the heart is genuine. You just can't give lip service and say, I'm sorry, or I want to do something, and this is going to make it all right. No. If it's true in your heart, God will grant you that release. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. There is nothing like living in the freedom that Christ brings to you. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that we were set free. Yeah, it was for freedom. Let me say this one last thing, and I'm sure we have to go by now, but you all can leave. I'm going to stay here till I finish. Okay, so, and I'll end on this, I promise, unless you have other questions. And even if you didn't get your question answered tonight, please send it in, because I would love to respond to it. Yeah. Can we do that?
So I think, we got a little bit of time. I want to spend some time praying and a little bit more time praising.
Yeah.
I also have something to share that's rattling around in my brain, but I might not get to it. So we'll see. I don't know.
I'll read this, and this hopefully will be in Acts chapter 17. And I'll try to hush after this, but Acts chapter 17. Travel with me there real quickly, and then I'll hush. Okay, Acts chapter 17. This is going to set somebody free, because you're going to find out tonight you're more related to me than you might imagine. Okay, are we there? Acts chapter 17. I'm going to start in verse 24 just for traction. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Look at verse 26. And he made from one man, that one man was Adam, every nation of mankind, that's you and me, to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Why did he do that? That they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. From one man, Adam, came all of this. White people, red people, yellow people, black people. Which what this verse means here is the very blood that was flowing through Adam is flowing through us. That means Pastor Mark has some of my blood in him. And I've got some of Pastor Mark's blood in me because we both flowed from Adam, from one man. It's a human thing. These are human problems. They are not skin color problems. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a question. There's a lot of questions, actually, that are coming to my mind, and some of them are coming through text, you know, the anonymous ones and everything. I guess what I want to ask is this, that there are people, you've been serving our church in this discussion, yeah, in the sense of you've been serving who you know. You're looking out here, and there's no faces, but you kind of know the faces.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of
we're talking to this crowd, but I think, you know, we're living in a world right now where a lot of people are really struggling with what has happened these last few weeks.
Yeah.
And really, like, sitting under the weight of that, and not, we talked about guilt earlier, but really the sorrow, the anguish, the anger. There's people out there that are protesting their hearts out because there's so much pain there. And so I really want to hear, like, what are your words to those they're really just struggling through this.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And you know what? That contention that's with inside there, it's okay because God is allowing it. And the wrestling with what is going on when everything seems so out of order or in disorder. Pain is a natural part of the human experience. But there can, and I have never seen anything work even greater, when there is praise even while the pain is going on. There's a lot of anger for a lot of different reasons. There are some, excuse me, who are angry because of the outlash toward the President of the United States. There are some who are angry because they saw a lot of violence in the street. There are those who pain because they actually were stricken by the fact that one man could kill another man in the street. And we all have the perimeter view of what that looks like because we saw it. But here's what I say with our own personal pain, and you have to decide as you go before the Lord, what is your pain from? Is your pain from what you see going on, and you've seen a big dose of that, and that you maybe bonded in bondage to it by now? Well, then we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. It was like Jehoshaphat when he was going into battle in 2 Chronicles 20, and he says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And God says, if you are afraid, I want you to go down and take a stand tomorrow. In our own hearts, the pain, God will subside that pain if we will surrender it to him. If somehow we feel like we're doing a martyr's thing by carrying the pain, that's not of God. What he wants to do, if you have a microphone, everybody is pointing to the fire. Everybody is pointing to the fire. Few people are carrying water buckets to it. And that's our job. We put out the fire in our own heart, then we can begin to put out the fire in others' hearts just by living Christ-like. So when you're dealing with the pain, I understand it. I was perturbed when I saw what I saw. Immediately after seeing what I saw taking place and then learning that George Floyd lost his life in the midst of all of that, I had that emotion. But at the same time, amazingly, it was by God's grace, my heart went out for the eternal future for that officer. The eternal future for that officer. Because God sent Jesus to the cross for him too. Is it hard to love him right now? Absolutely. But that's not my choice. It's God's living in me that allows me to love this brother enough to want God to send somebody across his path to share the gospel with him. And if we get bound down by our pain, we may never put footsteps in the path to begin to minister to other people's pain. Two things that brings it out of the pain: praising God genuinely and beginning to reach out to others and encourage and strengthen them. It'll begin to cause your pain to dissipate. And when it rises, God will meet it where it is each and every time. This word, if it's emotional pain, this word will address that in a mighty way, and it can bring the peace that we all get when we're in Christ. You have to be in Christ and have the peace in Christ, or with Christ, if you will, to have the peace of Christ. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer, make your petitions known unto God. And the peace of God, you either believe that or you don't, the peace of God will keep our hearts and minds. And that peace surpasses all understanding. None of us knows why what took place in Minneapolis took place. None of us does. But we know it hurt, and it caused us some angst and some anxiousness. He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So that's what I would encourage with dealing with the pain. Praise, and then actively identify somebody that you can begin to encourage and strengthen.
Yeah, I think that's the I think that's a really good word. And what I see in myself, this is not a time for me to talk about myself, but what I see in myself is a tendency, maybe you can identify with this, but a tendency to choose comfort over our commission, and to choose comfort over comforting those that are hurting, and to choose comfort over Christ-likeness, and to choose, you know, just, I'd rather not, I can praise, but I'd rather not.
Yeah, it is. Don't make me go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mark, I know you know this, because we talk about this all the time. We are not going to know the taste of that joy that comes from Christ until we are actually right in it. Mm-hmm. It'll bring you to tears. It'll overwhelm you when you say, okay, I can't make this step, but somehow the power of the Lord makes you make that step, and you start waxing in the life of others. Man, there's no greater joy that comes out of that, man. I'm telling you.
Can I share something about that?
What? Please do. Yeah, please do.
2 days ago,
yeah,
I was just like everyone else, you know, kind of processing everything that's going on and feeling weight, you know, feeling kind of, what am I supposed to do? Searching my own heart. And I'm praying to the Lord, and I see in myself just a tendency to choose my comfort over what he's called me to do. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm repenting of that, like we talked about right at the beginning. And I'm like, God, if you want me to love someone, first person in line, whoever that is, help me to step up. If you guys have been around Milton, when he walks into a Panera or a gym or wherever he goes, he loves people right away. It's like Jesus overflows out of him. And I'm not quite there yet.
Anyway,
let me just say, I'm repenting of this.
Okay.
I'm not repenting of not being like Milton. I'm repenting of not being like the Mark that Jesus has called me to be as he lives through me. And and so I'm like, all right. And I just feel the Lord saying to my heart, Mark, take courage, ooh, step up, take courage. And I'm praying, and I'm walking outside of our church, and I got my headphones in, and I'm praying, and I'm like, all right, God, I'll take courage. I'll step up. And I see a truck pull up, a landscaping truck, and it just stops right at our exit, someone who was working at the church.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, you want me to go love that person, whoever that is? And I just, you know, I'm like, no. And I'm like walking the other way. He doesn't see me. Don't need to go. And so I just feel the Lord say, take courage to step up. And so I start stepping towards the window, and I kind of look and see who's in there. And of course, during this climate, what we're talking about right now, I see someone exactly my age, my stage, a black man, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, no, come on, right now. And I say no, because I'm like, am I going to be the white hero walking in? You know, I'm like, I'm going to comfort him in his time of suffering. I have nothing to say. You guys, I have nothing to offer. And I'm thinking about who?
Me.
And so I'm feeling these thoughts, and I just sense the Lord say to me in my spirit, step up.
Mm.
And so I walk over to the window, and I he's got it cracked open, but he's scrolling on his phone. You know, like we do when we're scrolling, when we don't want to be connected to anyone else, to the world. He's just scrolling, and he's in that zone. And his window's cracked open, not enough to really like exchange with me, but enough to hear me. And I just say, how you doing, man? And he says, I'm good. Life is good. Is that true? I don't know. But he says, life is good. And he says, it's good to be working. It's good to have a job with the virus and everything. It's June. The weather's good. And he says all this stuff. And we kind of talk for a minute. And he's like, thanks for asking, man. I'm doing all right. And then goes back to his scrolling. I'm like, okay, that's it. And and then I just sense the Lord say to me again, step up, Mark. And so I look at him in the eye, and I say, no, man, how are you doing?
You doing.
Personally. And he looks up at me and he says, not good, man, not good. And it's not what you think. He looks at me and he tells me that morning he found out that at 31 weeks, he had lost his baby. And I said, you're at a church. I'm a pastor. I have to pray for you. And I prayed with him and God gave me words through that prayer. His spirit worked through me through that prayer. And when I opened my eyes, when we said amen, his window was all the way down. His hand was reaching out. He had a smile on his face. And he said, man, my day just got a whole lot better. And he drove off. And I just walked back to the church and I'm just in tears because I'm like, man, God wanted to love that man. And I'm making my excuses, and he wants me to walk up, step up, and just love that guy because in that moment, he wanted to love him. It's not about me. And, you know, Milton, I appreciate everything you're offering right now, because, I mean, we just need that. We're so in our own heads. And
Mark, I'm going to take that testimony right now, and I'm going to speak that testimony to the church family at King's Chapel because I know that that kind of experience should be happening all in our midst, man. This should be happening. It's not just for Pastor Mark. I know it isn't. But God is meeting Pastor Mark where he is. But all of us, we are just one step away from somebody that needs a drink of water. And I would put this on your conscience. I would put this on your conscience. We all saw where the officer's knee was. It was a global picture. We all saw where his knee was. But where is our knee? Where is our knee? Whose neck might we be kneeling on that we would withhold life from them? Because we didn't just step up in the moment and obey the Holy Spirit to go and touch. And so we don't have to physically snuff life out for others. We can be doing it by withholding the love of Christ. And shame on us. Shame on us who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that that blood purchased us, and we're not willing to share it with others. Mm-hmm. Brother, I love your testimonies as you get. I didn't know that one. And so when you do have an encounter, you have one. I mean, it's not like you have to figure out what God's trying to do.
Yeah,
he makes it pretty. And he'll do that to any of us if we're just willing. Mark said several times in that, God said to him, take courage, courage, just go. Because you don't know when you're going to be sitting in that driver's seat. And you need somebody to bring you a drink of water. And so anyway, I'm touched by that testimony, man.
Amen.
We overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That's what we've got, and that's what took place, man. My Lord.
I hope that as a church, anytime you come here, when you see us up here, Sharon, what God does in our lives, and I hope what you take away from that is like, man, God can do that in my life too. It's
yeah, you can.
We are so weak, we are so empty apart from His Spirit working through us, and when we yield to His Spirit, we experience His love, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we first started live streaming, we were doing things really poorly, but we were trying, you know, and I think our mantra around here became, we're going to do things poorly, better and better every week. And it's not very good, you know, not very good saying. We're going to do things poorly, better and better every week. And I think for some of us, in terms of loving the people right around us and loving our neighbors, and that's kind of where we need to start.
Yeah,
I don't know how to do it well. We'll do it poorly and get better and better at it every day.
Yeah, yeah. You know, as you were talking there could be numbers of people sitting in these seats tonight with testimonies. And it would be my prayer that as a church family here, that the next Sunday or the Sunday after that or whenever it's a charge to do, I hope we can't even preach because there'll be testimonies popping. I hope the testimonies will be the sermon of the day where we went out and took courage and we spoke to somebody that we didn't have the courage to speak to, but because we obeyed God in the moment, somebody's life got changed or touched. So I long for that day. I know I can't call for it. That would be Pastor Bill's or your call, but I pray that we won't be able to sing a lot of songs, but we could. But I just pray that the sermon would take place with testimonies all over this room from people who have said, I'm going to take courage and then go and touch somebody with Jesus.
Yeah, man. So what I want to do is we're going to sing a couple more songs, but before we do that, I want Pastor Milton to lead us in a time of prayer. If you got to tune out, you know, you don't have to stay on with us, but we'd love to worship together, to orient our hearts towards praise in this moment. And there's a lot to remember in prayer, and so I'm going to trust the Spirit to lead Milton as he prays through this time, and invite you to pray the same, to not be passive during this time of prayer, but to extend your hands, your heart, your words, to Christ right now as we pray together, and then we'll sing a couple more songs. But Milton, would you do that?
I would love to. If you're able to get on your knees right now, if that you feel moved enough to just repent from that place, I encourage you to do so. Father God, we do thank you for how you've rained down on us in this time. And Lord, I believe your word has gone out to your people, the message of repentance. And Lord, even in this moment, I pray that there would be many across the land who are watching this, those who are part of the church family, but maybe those who don't know you, and Lord, maybe other believers somewhere else in the land. I pray that you are receiving up now the prayers of repentance coming from them. Father, that there will be genuine heart changes in those who want to genuinely repent. All bring about a motivation to return to you, Lord, as they have been off and wandering and away from you, but doing the religious thing, Lord. I pray that you would break it from them tonight as they lay it at your feet, Lord, and repent. Bring about the refreshing that your word promises, Lord, that you will encourage them and strengthen them in their spirit, Lord, as repentance is going out all over these airwaves now. Lord, receive the earnest plea for repentance. Grant deliverance, Lord. And Father, for those who have desired to be used of you, living out their faith but haven't had the courage, as Pastor Mark is learning to walk with you, Father, I pray that you would give them the boldness to take that step. Lord, that they might tonight pick up a phone and call someone that they didn't have the courage to call. That tonight they may send a text to someone that they didn't have the courage to text. That they would send an email to someone who they have not had the courage to. Lord, begin to restore the families that are so disjointed, Lord, where there are parents against children and children against siblings. And Lord, just be a restoration factory, Lord, in the body of Christ here at the King's Chapel as you restore and strengthen families. Father, for the men under the sound of this prayer right now, Lord, where they have missed the mark in leading and being oversight, providing oversight for their families, Lord, receive their hearts of repentance tonight that those families can be restored and strengthened, Lord God. And Father, I pray there would be a mighty outpouring of testimonies that would come from your people reaching out and touching others with Jesus. Lord, you see the land. You know exactly what all of the chaos and the turmoil and confusion is all about. And Lord, we ask for a miraculous intervention that you would bring about a restoration in our cities, Lord, that things would begin to be put in order spiritually, that they might be put in order naturally. Father, I pray that you would endue those leaders who know you already, Lord, those who are truly sons and daughters of yours. Father, bring about a boldness in them to proclaim your name with courage and to live out the calling to administer justice in the office in which you've called them, Lord God. Father, we pray particularly for our President of the United States of America, Lord, who is in this fish tank, Lord, for all to view. And Lord, it is easy for us to see his flaws and to see the shortcomings and all of the things that we see from his perspective, but none of us is in that seat. And Lord, I pray that you would send laborers across his path to speak into his heart. Father, someone that would be bold enough that if he doesn't know you, that they would share the gospel that he might. And Father, that this nation, as you've said in your word, righteousness exalts a nation. Wickedness brings it down. So, Father, I pray that there will be manifestations, not just words in the air. You charged us to pray for those in authority. You've also called us to obey the office of that authority. And so, Father, I pray that we find it in your people, that obedience would be there as it is for you. And Father God, I pray that there would be just a miraculous outpouring and change in this community body right here at the King's Chapel, that in the community and around the world, people would be talking about the presence of the Lord in that place. So, Father, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.